Conspiracies. I'm Taylor.
And I'm Jade.
All right. And we have a new episode. It's my turn this week. And I have a case that Jade's never heard of before. You guys might have heard of it because it's been kind of circulating more so in the media now. There's a Netflix did like a covering on it in Unsolved Mysteries. But it's the case of Alonzo Brooks. And he was a missing person out of Gardner, Kansas. So Alonzo Brooks was 23 years old at the time of his death. He was living with his mother in Gardner, Kansas. He was the youngest of five kids. I think he had three sisters and one brother, all of them older than him. And he was working, I saw a few accounts that said he was working as a sanitation worker at the time of his death. Like I said, he was 23. So his mom always talks about how she was really protective. It's actually a pretty heartbreaking story because she says because he was the youngest, she always was like really, really protective of him. And even when he was growing up, would not let him go places, would not let him out of her sight, basically. Like I said, he had an older brother. And you know how men kind of tend to be, like his older brother would kind of, I guess, try to like toughen him up or tell him like, you need to be this way, you need to be that way. But he was kind of like a, you know, a nicer guy, and his mom would have to kind of tell him like, leave him alone, like let him be nice, let him be the nice guy, let him be the fun guy. Yeah. Like, he doesn't have to be tough all the time. So on the night of his death, this actually is a pretty recent case. It happened in 2004, I guess not 15-ish years ago. But I feel like a lot of the ones we talk about are older than that, like 90s. And
oh, we talk mostly we get deep into the 70s, 80s. Yeah, but the episodes of the 2000s do much better, so I like doing more recent episodes.
Yeah, so this actually happened in 2004. So on April 3rd, 2004, Lonzo came to his mother and told her that he was going out to a party. And the party that he was going to was in Lacine, Kansas. And apparently this is kind of like a remote area of Kansas. Not really a lot of... It's very rural. I think they said like the town was like 1,500 people total or something like that.
Oh my God.
Very backwoodsy, very... It was about an hour outside of... where he was. So he drove about an hour away to go to this party. The three people that he, I guess, kind of are really important in this story are his friends. He went with three friends, Justin, Daniel, and Tyler. And Daniel and Tyler and Justin all pulled up at his house, and they kind of did the thing, you know, where everybody does with like who's riding with who type of thing. So Zoe, which was his nickname, people knew him by Zoe. Lonzo ends up riding with Justin, and I guess Daniel and Tyler end up riding together in a separate car. So they take this hour-long drive out to Lacine, Kansas, and they pull up to this party. So apparently none of them really knew a lot of the people there. It was just kind of one of those things where it was like, oh, like there's this party at this random place, like let's all go. It wasn't a close-knit. There was like over 100 people there, and when they pulled up, they said that there was a few accounts that said that Lonzo was the only black person there. Mm-hmm. And then there was a few accounts that said that he was one of three people of color there. So people of color could mean anything. Hispanic, yeah, can. Whatever. Yeah. So basically, it was all white people there. Mm-hmm. And I feel like as we've learned, like, black people.
Here we go again.
If you walk into a room and you're the only black person there, and people are drinking especially,
bruh,
turn your ass around and walk right back out.
Bruh, let me tell you something. Stand in a corner. I'm very bad at playing GTA, but you know what the trick is? Find a corner and stand in it. Yeah. So can't nobody get your ass. Very bad advice, but...
stand in a corner with your back to the wall.
Yeah.
No, yeah. It's an uncomfortable situation. But I feel like him growing up in Kansas, or from what I gathered, he was kind of used to being one of the only black people around, or not that many other people of color around. Because all the people he came with were white. He didn't come with any other black people either.
And I think like that's an important piece I feel like to talk about. We always talk about these stories. There was like the only black person. I always say, like, I had the luxury that growing up in a predominantly black area that I never had that occurrence. Like, I never showed up somewhere without a black person. It sounds like I'm like Trump, like my black here. But
my African American over there,
you see him. But no, so I feel like it's like, you know, people get lonely, and obviously everyone wants friendship. So I feel like to him, right, it could have been a, like, this is a completely normal occurrence. Like, right. There are another black people to go with. He has to have friends, would like friends. So it's like, yeah, like, it's perfectly normal to him to show up with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I feel like that, like I said, he was from Topeka. I don't know about a lot about Kansas, but apparently Topeka is a little more, like, urban than, like, Gardner.
When you say urban.
So, right. It's with hard the air for me quotes, to, what, I'm about to say, it's hard for me to imagine Kansas as urban.
What is urban?
But apparently there were more black people in Topeka. Like, it's more like
that makes city. It urban? Black people make it urban?
Look, I'm just letting y'all know what my research told me. I don't really know, but he did have a black friend, like, black friends from Topeka, okay. From where he grew up.
Okay.
So the area he grew up in, he did have black friends. But this new area, it was mostly, I guess, predominantly white area. And then especially this area, Lacine, that they drove an hour out. It was very remote. It was pretty much all white people. But the people, the friends he was with, Justin, Daniel, Tyler, they even said it was a different crowd than they usually are around. I guess they're like, oh yeah, usually it's like white people, but not like these type of white people.
Yeah.
Like these were very like backwoodsy, like, you know, and it became a thing where there was tension at the party because multiple people said that there were racial slurs thrown around at this party once Alonzo showed up. So there was a little bit of like tension. They saw him. People said racially insensitive things. When they say racial slurs, I'm assuming they said nigger. And he didn't really like that. There was a few accounts that Alonzo had got into like a little bit of a scuffle with someone at the party. I don't know if this was in relation to the racial slurs or if this was just kind of like a drunken, like, I don't know, you stepped on my shoes type of thing. Nobody really has said. So there was tension at the party, to say the least, or from what I gather. Mm-hmm. So, but Alonzo's friend Justin said that even after like these little, you know, blips happened in the night, everybody always says like Alonzo was a happy-go-lucky, positive, like always in a good mood. Even after all that happened, he still was like partying, having a good time. Look, I'm not gonna judge, but somebody call me a nigger at a party full of white people, I'm gonna exit stage left. I'm not doing no more beer shots or whatever the fuck. But hey, different strokes for different folks.
I'm dead. Beer shots? You're wild.
Whatever, what the thing?
That's a...
What is that called?
Is it a beer bong or my
tweaking? Yeah, beer bong. Yeah. Whatever.
I'm really old now.
I'm not doing no beer bongs with people who just call me a nigger. Like,
but I'm just like, so when he got into like these scuffles, these were like small fights or like was he actually physically like?
No, I don't think it was a physical fight. Just kind of like a, hey man, what you say to me? And like a, get on, you know what I'm saying? Like just like a,
but then,
exchange of words.
But I'm like, and then he even felt comfortable staying? Because to me, it's like, I don't think I would even feel comfortable still staying. Like if you calling me like a nigger or whatever may have you, we get into tussle about it, and you're so hell-bent on calling me this that you really want to, like, get in my face about it. I feel like I don't really want to be there. Like, I don't feel comfortable, but maybe these are things that growing up in Kansas or whatever, going to party like this, he's just used to it, maybe? Like, maybe. Who knows what had him build up that tolerance? But for me, that's a blinking red flag that I really shouldn't be here anymore. Yeah. Like,
I mean, if I step in a house full of white people and y'all start calling me a nigger and we're arguing about it and nobody is, like, I guess... I don't know if his friends came to his defense. I don't know. He was a solid guy, big guy. He played football, so maybe they felt like they didn't have to. Like you said, I don't know. I've never experienced this type of stuff, so maybe it's just the tolerance you have to build up when you
grow up in a
predominantly white area. But all this to say, there were definitely racial things said. There was definitely a little tension at the party that had happened. But he still was like, okay, cool, like, you know, whatever. Like I said, I don't know if the party was about somebody's... I don't know if the fight was about somebody saying nigger. I just know that there was tension at the party. So, all this to say, he still stayed. His friends were like, oh, you know, I think they even said word for word, like, he's not the type of person who would let something like that bother him. Like, he just continued on about his night. And I'm like, white people are so oblivious, but whatever. So, he continued on about his night. Continues the party. So about an hour and a half into the party, into like the time that they were at the party, Daniel and Tyler, who, if you remember, he did not ride with them, got another call saying that there was another party someplace else. So they decided to leave. They said bye to Alonzo. They're like, hey, we're about to go, see you later, dab some up, whatever. So Justin, that leaves Justin and Alonzo still at the party because they rode together, right? So they're hanging out, having a good time, hanging out at the party, and Justin steps outside. He says, this is Justin's account. He says he steps outside to smoke a cigarette, and then he realizes that this was his last cigarette. So why you make that face?
Oh, sorry. The way you said that, you mean like he realized the last cigarette he would ever smoke. It was like the last one in the box.
In the box. Okay. Yeah. Yes. No, we realized it was his last.
And then he knew it was the last cigarette. No, but like.
No, he realized it was the last cigarette in his box. So he goes back inside to tell Alonzo, hey, I smoked the last cigarette. I'm about to go down the street to get more cigarettes. Which, if you, I'll put like the maps and things of this house, but this was a very rural area. You don't go down the street to get cigarettes. Like, people were describing it and they were like, this is the type of town that has like one gas station, one grocery store. Like, where are you going? Yeah. And it's not to insinuate that Justin knew anything about it. It's just like, it was kind of weird to me. The whole thing was kind of weird. So Justin says that he tells Alonzo, Alonzo says he smokes cigarettes too. So he says, please give me a box of cigarettes as well while you're out, right? So Justin said he left. There was a really long kind of winding driveway down to this from this farmhouse. He says like he turned left when he should have turned right or vice versa. Either way, he ends up getting lost out in this rural area. Yeah. And he said he ended up about 30 minutes out from the house that they were staying at. So at this point, he calls Alonzo, or he calls another person at the party, I guess, like a mutual friend. This friend's name is Adam. I wasn't really able to find a lot on Adam. I don't know if they, I don't think they rode together. I don't know where they knew each other from, but this is just a mutual friend named Adam. He calls Adam and says, hey, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it back tonight because I got lost and I'm already like 30 minutes outside of the front, away from the house. So can you take Alonzo home? And he said that at that time, we know Alonzo, or we don't know. We assume, if we're believing Justin, that Alonzo was still alive at this time. Because he said when he was talking to Adam, he heard Alonzo in the background kind of like, you know, messing with him, joking with him, saying like, oh, you know, you stupid, you got lost, hey, get lost, that type of thing. Just joking around. So he hangs up the phone. Adam says, yes, I'll take him home. He hangs up the phone, and that's the last that Justin goes home. Let him tell it. He goes home, and that's the end of that. Doesn't know anything else about what happened at the party that night. So nobody knows that anything is up or amidst until Alonzo's mom gets a call the next morning from one of his friends asking if Alonzo is home. So basically after Justin leaves, that's the end of that night as far as all his friends can see. Nobody checks on him. Nobody says anything. Nobody does anything. Somebody calls his mom and says, is Alonzo home? She checks saying like, okay, he should be home. It's the morning time, whatever, 8 or 9 a.m. And she checks and notices that his bed is still made. And they said Alonzo was really like neat, tidy type of person. And he would always make his bed, always, you know, do that type of thing. So she's like, this is very bizarre. Like, so she starts calling through him for him throughout the house. And she's like, gets back on the phone. She's like, no, he's not here. Where is he? Because this is abnormal. And even his sisters, his brothers, his mother says he was not the type to stay out anywhere. Like, he did not stay overnight at people's houses, which I feel like some people are just like that. They're not about to sleep on their couch. They're not about to sleep on your floor. Like, they're going home. Yeah. So she was like, he never doesn't come home. Even though he's, you know, a grown man, he's 23, he always comes home. So she said that at this point she knew something was not right, because this was totally, totally out of character. So this is when people start kind of like realizing like, this is a little bizarre. So they start talking to Justin, Daniel, Tyler. Daniel and Tyler say, you know, what had happened. They're like, hey, we left about an hour and some change into the party. We left and there were Justin. Justin says, I left to get cigarettes. I never made it back. I told him to ride with Adam. Adam says that he never left the party with Alonzo. When it was time, exactly. He says that when it was time for him to go, he looked around for Alonzo and he didn't see him. So he assumed that he left or got a ride home. I don't know. He just assumed he wasn't there anymore. So Adam also left without Alonzo. Yes.
There's so many party fouls.
Yes.
But I feel like men don't.
Men are different.
Do men have party fouls? I'm always like, as a woman, that is like a executable offense. Like, I would have no more friends. People are like, well, you came with Taylor, but I didn't leave with Taylor. That is, I feel like as a woman, like if I drove you there and you're like, hey Jade, whoever wants to take me home or I want to go home with my cousin, I feel like I need like written signatures on like a piece of paper before I actually agree that you're actually not going to ride with me. Because I always think about that. Like when I take people to parties or I'm like the designated driver, I'm always like, because there's always somebody's like, oh girl, my man about to come. Or, oh, that's my friend over there. That's my blah, 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 strange uncle. He going to take me home. And it's like, I feel like I literally need, like, both signatures on a piece of paper agreeing to this. I feel like I really don't leave without the people I came with. Yeah. Like, regardless. Like, I all round all, like, chickens before I leave without somebody. Yeah. Like, really.
It, for real. Like, and it's like, if, like you said, it's like, oh, my man's coming. Like, that literally has to be, like, your actual boyfriend. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have to be,
no,
like,
he has to come in the building. I have to watch you get in the car. I will sit up. I have sat on couches till, like, 4 a.m. in the morning waiting for the so-called boyfriend who's a piece of shit. So he shows up at 4:45 a.m. and now I've wasted my whole evening. Like, the whole party's over. And I just want to make sure you get home safe. But I feel like that's, like, girl law. Like, you just don't leave women places.
Yeah.
I feel like men, it's just so different. Like, yeah.
They, I don't, like I said, that, but even his friend, like, he, like I said, he has a friend, like, a childhood friend who came down to help search for him, another black man. And he was saying, like, I want to ask Justin, like, how do you take somebody, ride with somebody an hour away from their house?
And leave them. That's crazy, though.
And don't come back with them.
That's crazy, though.
That's insane. That's, like, crazy. It's not down the street. You are all around, an hour out in this rural-ass area.
Yeah.
And you got lost looking for cigarettes, so you just said, fuck it, bye?
That's so weird, though, honestly. Because I feel like I would at least be like, hey, I'm tired and I want to go home. Hop in the car.
I'm about
like,
to come get you.
Yeah, I want to go home. Like, I would at least double back. Like, that's so weird. Yeah. I feel like you kind of, like, weren't responsible. I feel like when you take someone, obviously you take them home. And I feel like even worse, like the friend Adam, it's like, damn. Like,
just look, right? And the thing was, it's like, he didn't even bother to call Justin or anybody else and say, hey,
right?
I know that told me to bring Alonzo, but I can't find Alonzo. Have you heard from Alonzo?
No, but for real, right? No, but really, it's so weird. And especially, I'm like, I don't know if Adam witnessed the actual altercation with Alonzo, but I guess me just being black, like, I would have been, like, high alert on him all night. Mm-hmm. Like, especially the situation where we're in this rural-ass, like, farmhouse. Mm-hmm. I feel like I would have never been, like, let me just let him wander off. Like, I feel like I would have, like, a high alert of that friend to make sure they got home safely and things like that. Like,
well, you're black. These were Yeah, these were a bunch of white men. I feel like they didn't really take the situation as seriously as they should have because they didn't really, like, I don't know. Like, they're just like, oh, yeah, like, somebody called him a nigger a few times, but, like, he's still in good spirits. Like, let's get drunk. And it's like, no, like, this is a very unsafe place. Like, this is getting very weird, is getting very unsafe. And even, like I said, there's a Netflix kind of, like, Unsolved Mysteries episode about this case. And even after Justin says, like, even after he explains, like, yeah, there was some racial things said, like, there were people there who, as he put it, quote, had a problem with people's skin. Later on in the episode, he's like, oh yeah, I left because, like, there was no tension at the party. How is there no tension at the party? And you just said that people were saying racial slurs and had a problem with people's skin color.
But I think that's, like, kind of, like, the narrative that's always, like, pushed, though, because I feel like people think that, like, because you're born, like, black, you just come out with this innate, like, armor to kind of face racism, and then, like, they just think that you inherently know you're gonna get called a nigger all types of times of day, and you're just gonna have the skin to, like, soak it up.
Yeah, it's cool.
And like you said, I feel like they're like, oh no, these are my friends. Like, these are friendly white folk. Like, these are friends to me, so they wouldn't do anything to you. And they just live with that mindset, like, that I don't see color thing. And he's like, well, the fight passed, so it's over. Mm-hmm. But it's like, deep down, do you know? I mean, we haven't got to it yet, but I'm assuming, like, who knows what people were plotting from that moment on at the party.
Yeah. So he is, you know, the day after he goes missing, his mother goes down to police station and tries to report him missing. As we see in a lot of cases, they tell her, like, oh no, you have to wait 48 hours because he's a grown man. Like I said, he's 23 years old, he's not a minor. They say, you know, he was at a party, so, like, what, maybe he just is partying, you know, saying, ma'am. She's like, no, I know my son. He wouldn't do this. He would not. Like, this is very out of character for him. But nonetheless, they tell her she has, like, 48 hours. So, you know, she kind of deads it. But she does call Justin, Daniel, Tyler, and then one of his friends from his hometown. And they all go up and they meet up with each other. And they decide they're going to go down to Lacine and look for him. So all of his friends meet up, and one of his childhood friends, the one that I have been talking about, his name's Rodney. He's another black man. He traveled from Topeka to meet up with them to go down to Lacine to look for him. So because he didn't know, he wasn't at the party, so he didn't know where this house was. He didn't know anything. So he meets up with Justin and, mm-hmm. and them, and they go down there, and he says that it was an extremely rural area. And they go to, like, the farmhouse, and apparently the house was not, like, it wasn't somebody's house. I guess it was, like, an abandoned house or, like, a abandoned or Airbnb, like, rental type. It wasn't, like, oh, this is my mom's house.
It was no one's residence.
It was no one's residence. Yeah, nobody was living there.
It might have been abandoned. Yeah. Right? Or, like, recently abandoned, mm-hmm. and, yeah, people just turning up.
Yeah, so they said when they went there, it was kind of eerie because it had almost been turned like back into an abandoned house like the day after the party.
Whoa.
Yeah, and so his sister-in-law was talking about, she peeked in and she was like, I was just trying to imagine the scene because it just looked so desolate the day after. Like, it didn't look like a bumping party just happened here the night before. It did, you know what I'm saying? That's not up for debate. The party was there at the house, mm-hmm. but it just was weird, to say the least. So Rodney actually says when they were driving back down, this long driveway from the farmhouse, they actually find Alonzo's boots and his hat. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So if you go out, I guess, and turn like either right or left, there was like a boot on the side of the road and his hat. And then farther down the road, there was his other boot, on the side of the road as well. And Rodney was saying, like, this is kind of when I knew, like, this is really weird. Yeah. And a short little, you know, thing that, I mean, regardless, this would have been weird. But I'm just saying this because the police tried to say, like, oh, maybe he walked home or something like that. But apparently he had, like, an ankle injury at this time. Like, he liked to play sports. He liked to play football and basketball. And at this time, he had sprained his ankle, like during playing basketball, mm-hmm. or something like that. So he couldn't just, he was limping. The night he went to the party, he still had like a limp. And his ankle was messed up.
He would have walked
50 miles. No, Jay, I'm saying that's an hour away.
No, I'm saying, but that's not an hour walk. That's like 4 hours, six mm-hmm. hours. That's a huge walk. And like I said, the injured ankle, I don't think that's a realistic, like, I've never been that drunk to ever think that I could walk 50 miles home.
No.
That's insane.
No, that's not a real thing. That was stupid. But, you know, Rodney said, like, regardless, he's like, hey, his boots are here, his beanie is here, he used to wear like this black, you know, hat or whatever. He was like, this is very upsetting, this is very unusual. And then he also said that while they were there, kind of like, you know, peeking around, looking around, he says this man came out from, like, I guess the brush or like down from some homes or whatever on like a four-wheeler and told them that they need to leave, like they need to get out.
What?
Yeah. There's no more information on this man. Nobody knows who this man is. Nobody knows where he went. Could have just been his property. Who knows? But a man came down and was like, hey, y'all need to get out of here. Like, who are you? What are you doing here? Some real small town shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, oh, I don't know you. I know everybody in this town because there's only 20 of us here. Yeah. And you need to go. And he's black. So, and he even said, he was like, yeah, even like 16 years later, like, I don't feel safe here. Like, you can tell when you come someplace and like all the mm-hmm. eyes are on you. Everybody's looking at you like, why are you here? It was really like weird and eerie situation. So after they find all that, they turn that over to the police. The police come back. I think it was the Monday after the party, and the party was on a Friday or Saturday. They come back on the Monday and do like a full search of this area. Like, I'm talking cadaver dogs, helicopters, search team. They searched this whole area. There was a creek behind the house. They searched the creek. They come up with nothing. All right. So nothing happens. They said that the creek behind the house was like about 3 feet deep. So it That's wasn't very deep. Yeah. So it's not like they're searching oceans and mm-hmm. rivers and miles. You know, it's about just a little stream running back there about 3 feet. And they don't come up with anything. So at this point, there's nothing anybody can really do. And he's just classified as a missing person. So I think this was on April 4th or 5th. And that is just what his family has to live with. So there, you know, almost a month goes by. they kind of, his family was talking about how they would kind of call the police station like almost every day, to the point where they said like, hey, y'all need to stop calling here. Like, y'all need to just let us handle the situation. You're not making it better. You're making it worse. But obviously if you're a brother and your
and
son,
one call a day or three calls is not making anything worse. It's like, what?
I guess they were kind of saying like, hey, like, let us do our job. You're calling here every day. If we had something to tell you, we would tell you. I mean, a little insensitive to me, but nonetheless, they told them that they need to stop calling there. But I don't think they really did. And on May 1st, which is almost a month after, so 27 days after that first search happened and after he went missing, they finally broke down and they were like, hey, fine. If y'all want to put together your own search party, go ahead and put together the search party. Go ahead and search for the body. We don't care. We'll allow you to do it. So him, his brother, uncles, father, his mother did not go, probably because I don't think she could
sad.
She couldn't really take it. Went out there, and within an hour, they found his body. Yes.
I didn't know that. I thought that this was like a missing persons case. Found the body?
Yes, they found the body. This is why it's so crazy.
An hour later?
Yes, very quickly.
Bro, didn't anybody look over the body?
Very quickly. They found it quickly. Like I said, within the hour. It wasn't even like they were out there all day. And the body was only like a few miles away from the house. Like, it was in that same creek that was running right
along. The 3-foot creek?
Yes. Yes, that creek. Yes, that the police say that they searched.
So the body was just like sitting up above water, like.
Yeah, it was on the creek. Like, I guess the creek is called Middle Creek, and it was like there's a house, and then running, you know, adjacent to the house, there's that creek, and it was just on the banks of the creek. Like, it wasn't even in the water. It was kind of like,
oh my god,
a little bit on the side of the creek. And that's where they found
it. So they put the body in the creek and it floated or whatever, or they drove
maybe
up. Maybe they drove up and it floated down. I don't know which way the creek was running. But either way, I feel like they just dumped it and it's floated to that point.
Well, you would think, okay, yeah. Good theory, Jane.
That's what I would think. That's what I'm wrong.
Good
basically.
Theory,
okay,
good theory.
Okay.
Maybe, maybe not. But here's the thing. His brother, I think it was his uncle who found him, and he radioed his brother and was like, hey, we found him. His brother, you know, ran down there, but nobody touched him because, everybody was very upset. They were like, don't touch him.
Don't.
Because we don't need to tamper with the evidence or anything like that. But his brother said that he looked, he didn't look decomposed. Like, he said he still had his color, which, you know, if you ever been to a black person's funeral, niggas be looking ashy as fuck.
Let's stop. Funerals and it'd be like, always come up here, but people do say that.
It'd be like 7 days and niggas be looking gray. And you're like, well, goddamn, I wish I didn't see them this way. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But he said he didn't look, he almost looked like he was sleeping. He couldn't see decomposition. He didn't have that ashy gray color.
Wait, how many days had it been?
A month. 27 days.
Oh, that's interesting.
27 days in the creek, supposedly, in water.
That's interesting, because I think, honestly, when people get, like, a funeral home, I think they look that way because they're, like, embalmed. What's it called? So that's why they look so, like, gray and, like, because, you know, it's technically, like, preserved or whatever. But, yeah, to be in a creek for 27, that's very interesting.
He said it wasn't bloated. He wasn't bloated.
I don't
know,
like,
y'all know, if a body's in water for 27 days, you're going to be bloated.
Yeah, I don't want to, like, be that person. I'm like, do they say if it, like, smelled? Because, like, for 27 days, it should actually have decomposed. This is not my job. But I'm like, should it have, like a huge stench almost? Like a rotting body in water? Like, I feel like it should have I don't know.
I mean, nobody said anything about the stench. I don't know if that was because of just
respect.
You know, respect.
Yeah.
But they said, he said that, you know, but he also did have, they found things on him, like, he had a ring on, he had his wallet in his pocket, he had a bandana in his pocket, and in his wallet and in his pockets, he had, like, different papers. Like, I guess, I mean, I'm not saying this was the exact thing, but for example, like, insurance cards, and he had a movie card in there, I think his mom told out, and he had a bandana. But if anybody knows anything about, like, I feel like everybody knows anything, you can't leave paper in water for 30 days. The paper is going to disintegrate. Everything was intact.
So they think they just placed it there?
Maybe.
But either way, like, 27 days, unless you're, like, a professional murderer, it's like, or you, like, froze him or some shit. It's like,
wow, good you know.
Hey, you know, I be listening to my
suggestions. Jade thinks out loud and stumbles upon the answer.
I'm not shocked, honestly, no. Truly.
A lot of people think that his body was hidden in like a freezer,
yeah,
a deep freezer or something like that. And then after,
like a quick freeze, yeah.
And then after the police searched that area and they didn't come,
they put it there.
Ah. They placed it there after the fact.
No, that's honestly though, that makes sense because, like, honestly, because if you do freeze paper, I'm like, if it thawed quick enough, maybe it wouldn't have been damaged. But like you said, if he was actually floating in the creek, it would be all tight. It, like I said, it wouldn't even be there. It'd be literally just like, even if it wasn't, it'd be putty at that. It'd be, yeah, it would be like putty at that point.
Because paper, it would be
how peculiar.
Paper and water. But everything was intact. His mom, she has it still. Everything in his pockets, she has it. In her house.
Oh, Lord. They froze him. They literally froze him. Yeah.
So
that's interesting.
But that's what the... Okay.
Or did they place it? Did they take it out and place it?
Shit.
Because I'm serious. Like, if you're really, like... I mean, honest to God, like, I would never... I had this conversation the other day. I would never commit a murder spontaneously or period, for the record. But I think... Because I was like, that sounded a little incriminating. But I would never do a period. But I think for me, especially, like, the idea of a spontaneous murder... I feel like it's like there's almost no way in 2020 to get away with it.
No.
So I feel like to take the items out the pockets is the smartest thing. And then when they went to put him back, they're like, this is evidence. Like, where'd his wallet go? Where'd his watch go? Because it makes sense. Cause I'm like, even for it to freeze and defrost, it still wouldn't be,
intact,
it'd be salt. Like, it wouldn't be right. Like, it still wouldn't be right if it
I mean, it looked a little old, a little tore up, but it definitely did not look like it's been in
the
water.
The ink would run. The ink would run. If you...
Oh, no, you could read it.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, like, again, I'm not an expert, but I do think of a piece of paper. Like, I've left stuff in the snow before and, like homework and all types of junk. And then, like, when it literally defrosts, the ink has ran.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every time I've done it, it runs. It doesn't...
Yeah. I mean, there's no way that stuff was in the water for almost a month and came out looking...
I think they took it out. I do. And they took it out and placed it back in his pockets and left him there.
Yeah.
But I do think he was frozen. I do stand behind him. I stand
You think that? Well, the autopsy, the reason that, like you were saying, you're like, oh, wait, they found a body. That's shocking.
It is shocking.
When you find a body, you can then find a cause of death. You can then find out a bunch of things when you find a body. Well, apparently, even though his brother says he didn't really see decomposition, obviously his body was, you know, laying in a certain way. The person who did the autopsy report did say that, like, there was, you know, tissue damage and things that were, like, you know, decomposed, which I didn't really understand. The only way I can make sense of that is that maybe he was laying face down or something like that, to the point where, like, his brother could not see, because they didn't touch him, they didn't roll mm-hmm. him over or anything. So maybe his family didn't see, you know, the decomposition or anything, like, on his... They said specifically on his neck, like, his neck tissue was decomposed, like, to the point where they literally... They have no cause of death. They couldn't figure it out for him. They couldn't tell
That's
if he drowned.
Peculiar.
Yeah, they couldn't tell if he drowned. They couldn't tell if he was strangled. They couldn't tell. No puncture wounds. He wasn't shot. He wasn't stabbed. But as far as, like, the, you know, strangulation or anything, or drowning, they couldn't... There's no cause of death, right?
Well,
nobody knows.
Can you autopsy a person? Like, can you toxicology someone, like, 27 days later after either they've been frozen in a lake or been, like...
I don't know, but what would the toxicology do? He was partying. They know he was drunk.
No, but I'm saying if he was drugged.
Oh, drugged.
So if he was drugged and dropped dead and, like, put in a freezer... I mean, unless, like I said, unless people are real, like, true criminal masterminds, cause I know that, like, either way, like, he would expel the waste. Either way, I feel like the waste comes out, like, when you die. So I'm like, I guess they could have tested that, but I'm assuming, like, his body wasn't found, like, with his waste or whatever, or some type of, like, DNA. So I'm like, can they actually, like, take a toxicology, especially after you've been sitting in water or frozen,
yeah,
and, like, come back with a substance? Because when I think, like, oh, there are no physical wounds or something like that, I'm like, mm-hmm. was he, like, drugged? Like, was he, like, did they leave him alone at the party? And they're like, hey, man, you want to try this new Coke or smoke this new weed? Or, you know what I mean? Like, try to lure him into doing, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I don't think that after 27 days, even, like you said, your body expels, like, you know, certain waste. I don't think after, I guess, in theory, the running theory that the toxicology report says is that he was probably in that creek for the whole time.
Is that what it says?
The guy from who did the toxicology report, he said that he can't determine the cause of death. The way that the body was, it is possible that he was in there the whole time, but he can't rule out the fact that he was in there for less time. So basically, he doesn't know any fucking thing.
That's so interesting. Very frustrating. I'm like,
he's like, yeah, he could have been in there for the full 27 days, but also he could have been in there for less because, you know, there's a lot of different factors. And I'm like, well, nigga, so basically you're not but telling me anything.
But I also don't think he could have been there the whole time because it's like, okay, this is like a big football player. He can't drown in that. Like, unless he was so drunk, he walked there, tumbled over face front, and couldn't bring himself up and just choked to death in 3 feet of water. It doesn't make any sense. All his body would have actually been there.
Yeah.
Like, either way, it was dumped there. There's no way that he naturally died right there. Yeah. Either way, it doesn't make any sense. Like, he would have naturally ended up
there. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't know why he would have walked there. Also, like, all his friends left, like a bunch of fucking idiots. And then that Adam dude was just like, oh, don't see you. See you later, alligator. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? So who knows? Maybe he was there later. Who knows? Maybe when Adam looked for him, he was in the bathroom. And then, like, after Adam left, shit hit the fan. Because I'm like, wait, nobody. And that's what people were saying. Like, it's a very small town. And basically nobody is talking. Like, nobody has. There was over 100 people at this party.
Because they don't want to talk.
And nobody has, like, information about where he was, where he went, besides like his friends. And even his friends are just kind of like, oh yeah, like I thought he was good, so I rolled out. Like,
that's a weird thing that I guess just as a black person, I'm like, what a weird thing to think that he was like,
after they called him a nigger,
yeah, and he was just like good being there. And it's just like, I don't know. It's like, how did you feel safe at, like, he got home safe when you left him there? Who did you think would give him a ride home? Like,
an hour away from his house.
Yeah, I'm like, do you think that someone, especially people that, like, air quote, have problems with the color of people's skin, do you think that someone will volunteer to drive this man out an hour and, like, safely return him is, like, the wildest thought ever. It's really weird. It's so weird. And also, I feel like, I don't want to call them, I'm not saying they're racist or whatever, but I'm like, maybe growing up in Kansas or wherever they grew up, whatever, they didn't value his life as much.
Facts.
I'm saying, so maybe to them, honestly, it wasn't a big deal that they left him. Maybe they didn't, like, I think a lot of times it comes up that we do realize that people have these biases where they really don't, even in 2020, people don't see black people as whole people. We're still, what, was it the voting thing, three-fifths, whatever it may be. But I still feel that way because I feel like they didn't value his life or taking care of him. Like, there's just so many times where people have the opportunity to get him home safely. And he's like, they'll figure out. And they just didn't care. Like, it seemed as if even his closest buddies, they just really didn't. This friend couldn't come back 30 minutes after driving an hour to come get him. Like, it's just, there's so many moments where it's like, what? Were they really your friend?
Right, yeah. And that's what I feel like the general consensus is just that, like, these friends' stories are very shoddy, to say the least. Like, it's just kind of like, if, like, so anybody who has friends is like, I would not do this to my friend. So why would you? It doesn't make any sense. So to the conspiracies, I feel like we've touched on, like, a lot of them. You know, there was a few. The first is that he got in an argument with someone at the party, which it was like a spat, but they're saying like a deeper argument, a bigger argument, whether that was after Justin left or before Justin left and Justin's not saying, or after Adam left or before Adam left. Nobody knows because nobody's really talking. And that he got jumped by a group of people because he was, like I said, he was a big guy. So it's not really a thing where I don't think maybe somebody could kill him one-on-one. Who knows? But he was a big guy. He wasn't helpless. You know what I'm saying? He's a big football player.
Yeah.
So the idea was maybe that he got jumped because of his skin color. There were also a lot of people who said that he was, and I'm like, ugh. When I heard this, I'm like so sad because I'm like, a tale as old as time. Apparently he was flirting with a girl there, a white girl. And yeah, exactly. He was flirting with a white girl there, and there was some type of animosity behind that, and like other men at the party, white men, not liking that he was flirting with the white girl and kind of dealing with the white girl, and that had caused a little bit of a rift too. So the first is that either just because he was black or whatever the case, or because he was dealing with this girl, they targeted him because they didn't like that, and that was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. Like, okay, like, your nigger ass is gonna show up here and then you're gonna, like, try to, like, fuck on one of our white women. Mm. We're about to beat your ass. Yeah, we're about to beat your ass.
And so again, back to the autopsy, though. I'm like, what did he show any signs of blunt injuries? Or I'm like, I don't know anything about this, but I'm guessing, like, if you do soak in water for, like, 27 days, would I have the blows from a few punches? Like, you know, unless you, like, really cracked bones and stuff, would you actually see the minimal? Because, like, even a natural, well, I guess if you die, I don't know, man. I feel like if you died, the bruise wouldn't heal, or I don't know. I feel like I'm thinking too much about this, but
I mean, it's a very unnerving.
It is unnerving case, because
it's like,
yeah, but like you said, the whole thing about, like, oh, he went smacking some woman, or I guess in English, not DMV terms, he
tried to talk to a girl.
Yeah, he tried to talk to a girl, and I guess him being, I feel like a lot of times people feel, like, emasculated by black men, like, they're very intimidating to a lot of other men. So I feel like, and like I said, historically, thinking about the idea of, like, this 6 foot, like, huge attractive black man comes in and is talking to this girl, and this is the girl, I don't know, you've wanted all your life or something, for a lot of people, that's enough to beat the shit out of somebody and leave them, like, for dead. And and that's been, bro, that repeats itself tenfold in history,
right? It really does. No, yeah, the historical context of it is, like, it's unsettling, because that's why I said a tale as old as time.
Yeah, it happens, like, over and over and over and over and over again.
Over and over again. Like, these white men get so angry. Like, you're trying to get our white women. You're trying to rape our white women. And it's like, it's led to the demise of so many black men throughout history. It's not even funny.
Countless. It's still pushed today, though. The narrative is still, like, pushed today. Definitely. That, like, we just, like... People do. People love...
I'm going to say they do. That's why I said never mind. But...
Yeah, black men love white women. It's like, it's like a thing. They love them. Yeah. So I feel like, but that's today, though. I feel like back in the 50s and stuff, I feel like black men, like, wanted no business probably white women, because it would be, you would probably, like, die of it. But I feel like in 2020, it is like, you can openly like what you like, and in most scenarios you will not get, like, murdered for it.
Yeah, no, you're not gonna get exactly murdered. So you might get a little bit of a side eye. You might not.
Yeah, but you're not gonna get. It's not deadly to like a white woman. You're fine.
No, you're fine. And it's, but it's like you said, throughout history, it's like even Emmett Till. His I think the anniversary of his death is coming up. It's this Friday, I think.
Oh man, I might be going to jail.
Yeah. But that white woman admitted that she lied on him.
She did admit it,
and she never went to jail. She never faced any consequences. And people were like, oh, that woman's 85. Fuck her old ass. Throw her in the slammer. That's how I felt about it. I don't care. Like, what do you mean? They're like, oh, well, she's old as shit now. Like, by they, I mean, like, certain white people were like, oh, well, what do y'all want them to do? Lock her ass up. What do you mean? I don't care. Like, so it's a really bad situation. So I think that's what some people said was the motive. The second motive is kind of like, because the thing with the girl wasn't confirmed per se, it was just that it was racially motivated, period. It had nothing to do with the girl, and just kind of like maybe that person that he got into a little bit of a spat with earlier in the night decided to, I guess, approach him later on in the night, and that kind of spiraled out of control and led to them getting into an argument, him getting jumped. But all of the theories that I could find were that somebody had, and this was just like, I guess, his friends talking, and they said that somebody would have had to jump him, like his friends and family. Yeah. They were like, he was not, like, he wasn't no punk, he wasn't no bitch, like, he wasn't just about to get laid out by some random person and just die. Like, that's not really a thing. It had to be a group of people, which makes the lack of that's information what I think so, too. Yeah. So frustrating. Yeah. Because it's like, I know that a group of people had to be involved in this, so y'all are really good at keeping secrets, basically.
But that's what I feel happened for, like, regardless of what the motive is, I do think that it was a group of people at the party, whatever he had done to upset them. They decided to jump, and I feel like when people are drunk often, like, it will fuel your, like, obviously, they're already, like, 23 years old, so don't have good, like, frontal lobes. So I feel like...
And actually, let me throw this out there. Actually, he said, there was a thing that they said that he actually didn't party with them because he was actually a bit older than them. So the people there were a bit younger, like 18 to 21.
So exactly. Yeah. So exactly. I feel like, again, so I feel like we have all this evidence. Like, one, I feel like they were younger. They were drunk as shit. They wanted to fight him, whatever might have you. Two, I feel like him being a black man already, his presence irritated them. Also, they don't value his life. So to them, I feel like the way they would beat up the nerd at school, or whoever they normally, if some other white guy who was a local there had upset them, the way they would have beat him up will be no way like this. And I feel like at one point these kids literally turned around. I feel like, honestly, I don't think they went out to murder him. I do think they wanted to, like, fuck his shit up. But I do think they didn't intend to murder him. But I do think once they murdered him, they're like, oh, we need to cover this shit up. And I think that so many people might have been involved then in a small town. Everybody has a reason to not snitch. Mm-hmm. And especially him being a black guy. They're like, this is like, too, I feel like a lot of people that don't value his life. It's like, why would I go to the police and tell them when just some Negro got killed? It's like, he wasn't from there. It doesn't affect them personally. Why would they snitch? And I feel like probably like, what, 5-6 kids are involved. They're teenagers. Their lives be affected forever. Everybody has a hand and would be affected by their arrest. I feel like people were like, no, I'm not going to tell. They don't care about some black guy getting killed. So they just let it rock. Like you said, only 1,500 people live in the town.
Facts. Yeah. It's a small town. Like you said, I think everybody has a motive to cover it up and just kind of going
to protect them.
Yeah. To protect their friends. And like you said, it was just some random black guy who got killed and it just was an accident. And, you know, good old boys club, you know what I'm saying? They're not going to write their friends out.
Yeah, and people are always, what's that quote? People are always children. Like, I feel like whenever white kids mess up, they can be 45 and they're a child. Yeah. But at the ripe age of 12, a black guy is a grown man. Mm. And they paint this picture that he could slaughter, like, all of Manhattan. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, with his bare hands. Yes. And it's like, it's just the way they frame it. Literally. So I feel like...
Yeah. Like, I'm like, what the fuck the nigga Dylan Roof or whatever?
Oh, yeah. They called... Bro.
He was a boy of this. That was he, like, 19 years old or something? Yeah. Like that? Meanwhile, Tamir Rice, y'all pull up and shot him point blank range. He's 12 and he's like a young man. He's 12 years old. That's a child. Yeah,
there was another story where there was like a bunch of kids in a car somewhere. And the police pulled a gun on them, and it was a car full of children.
Yeah.
And they pulled a gun on them. It doesn't make any sense. Like, we don't see black kids the same way as we see white adults. Facts. But yeah, so I feel like people probably in that town had so many reasons to not persecute them. They don't care. They don't care what happened to this black man. Like I said, he's an outsider. It was what it was.
Yeah. But, I mean, apparently the people of Lucene are a little bit unnerved because they're getting more attention now. Actually, this case was reopened because they closed the case, basically, because they said they couldn't find a cause of death or anything like that. They didn't have any information. So they closed the case. They actually reopened it recently, and they reopened this case. The FBI did. On June 11th, 2020. It was very, very recent.
That is recent.
And they offered a $100,000 reward for information related to his death. And this was mostly due to public interest. And as part of the investigation, they actually just exhumed his body in July 21st. So very recently.
Whoa, they exhumed the body?
They exhumed his body.
That, for all our people, that almost never happens. Yeah. It takes a lot of work to get a body exhumed.
Yeah, you have to get like approval from family, you have to get approved from like the state, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot that goes into that. So they did exhume his body, and obviously this is an ongoing investigation, so they can't really talk about what they found or what they haven't found, but they did say that there have been new developments in the case, not just things that they already knew, that they have found out new things since reopening the case, and that they're, you know, actively working towards investigating it. So yeah, that's that.
Well, yeah. Are there any, like, resources or people can, like, I don't know, like, help or donate or...
Yeah, I'll put them in the description. Yeah. I'll say, yeah, because, I mean, and this just goes to show you, like, public interest matters. Like,
it really does.
I hate people who are like, oh, my God, like, social media warriors or online warriors, what the fuck is that going to do? I'm like, it actually does a lot.
Yeah, I think, I always think you should do more. I mean, do the most you can. So if all you can do is tweet and do the best... Write the best tweet you can write, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like if you can do more, always try to do that. But I do think that a lot of times people don't realize how much public interest goes. Because even, like, still, taste of, like, T.T. Gully we talked about weeks ago, the thing that really let that down was there was no public interest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, shout out to Sauce Santana. Because I don't know if you remember.
Did he tweet about it?
In the video, so I can't remember what the name of the video is. In his most recent video, at the end of it, he says, Blacks, Trans Lives Matter. And he flashes the picture as well as... the name, I think. So, and it was someone else's video too. So hopefully they can generate public interest. And if that does interest you, that is a process we did. This still does need a bit of public interest. So
Yeah, public interest matters. Like podcasts, tweeting, Instagramming, that it matters.
It really does. Yeah. No, seriously, it really does.
Because if, like, you know, you put the pressure on these police forces necks. They have no. At a certain point, they don't have a choice but to respond.
They really don't. People don't realize it. Like, well, I feel like we all know when we go to like school as kids, but at the end of the day, like. The whole government and the police, everything is essentially funded by your tax dollars.
Yeah.
So, if a large enough number of people have an interest, it is they have to provide information because you are the people provide asking, getting this, how to say, paying for the service.
Yeah, I was saying, and it's supposed to be
public. It is to serve
things,
you.
Yeah,
it is
certain things are public information too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So if they don't
yeah.
have their shit together, if they don't have their files in order, they're going to be looking like a bunch of big dummies, and they don't want that. So. At the very least, you know, you can reach out, ask for answers, ask for explanations. And like you said, it's your tax dollars and it's supposed to be public information. Now, if nobody gives a fuck and these files just collect dust in the corner, then they don't have to ever, you know what I'm saying, get their shit together. But yeah, this case was unsettling to me. Like, I was like, bruh. I was like, it's very reminiscent of Tamla, like our Tamla Harsford episode.
Yeah, it's almost
That's
like...
our best episode to date. People really like that. But this is another case. I feel like hers was more popular. I feel like more people don't know about this one.
I didn't know about it, yeah.
Yeah, but it's very, very similar in the sense that it's like, bruh, like, black people. If you're the only black person in the room... I need you to remove yourself from that room, like, immediately. I mean, outside of, like, work or whatever, because a lot of us are only black people at work. But like, if you go to a party or you go to a whatever, like, I don't know about that.
This is honestly more eerie to me, though. Like, compared to Tamala's, like, this one is honestly more confirming. Like, I feel like for Tamala, I'm, like, 99%. She didn't just fall off the balcony. But as far as him, I'm, like, 100% confident that there was no natural, like, way of death.
Yeah.
Or no accident. There was no accident involved. Mm-hmm.
I don't think that was an accident at all, because it's like he accidentally walked into the creek and
a 3-foot creek
and
died.
He's like 6 foot. The creek is 3 foot. How's he? It just it's like when his friend said they were like it has foul play written all over it. Like there's I don't see anything. I don't see an explanation for this other than somebody murdering him, or maybe like you said, it was an accident. They killed him and then they tried to cover it up. I don't see an accident or death in this at all.
I don't know.
I don't see how this could have been.
I have no idea how it could have been. Please tell me. I have no idea how it could have
been. If you have a theory where an accident makes
please
sense,
always write it. We always, please write it. We always are willing to listen. Like,
yeah. That's my case for this week. So follow us on social media. We're Cognac Conspiracies on Instagram. We're cognacconspiracies@gmail.com. We appreciated the suggestions you guys sent. We appreciated those, so thanks for that.
Please send more. And just to tell us before, we're going to put resources in the description of how you guys can help. So always, like I say, do your best. If you do have time after listening to the podcast, please go ahead and sign a petition. Or if there's a GoFundMe, go ahead and donate because legal fees are not cheap.
Facts.
As well as we do have, like I said, we have previous episodes too. So if you listen to this one, we have previous episodes that still are looking for petition signatures or public interest. And if those interest you or you feel they, you know, justice has not been served, please go ahead and tweet about those and help us, you know, help those people get their justice.
Help us help you. So
yeah, right? Exactly.
So also we got a cool shout out. Whoever shouted us out on Locatora Radio's Instagram. We appreciate that.
We appreciate it so much. I like lost my mind.
that was great.
Bro, we literally were screaming in like the middle of the night. So shout out to you because that was like such a happy moment for me. What a wonderful surprise.
Yeah. I want to say if we don't know who you are because it was like a, you know, like the little thing where
people you write
in the box. So we don't know your username. But if it was you, go ahead and message us and let us know it was you because that was fun. That was great. We appreciate you for that. But yeah, I guess that's it for this week. We will see you all next week.
Bye.
See you later. Bye.